I'm feeling a little nostalgic today, more than I thought I was. Generally, I'm more of a look ahead kind of person, and especially with this one, I'm so excited for our move that it's very easy to look ahead. But I was driving in today, and it was a little nostalgic that this is the last time I'll probably drive in here until we're signing our kids up for middle school here. We live in this school district. So it is. It's one of these kind of bittersweet Sundays. We've had a lot of great experiences here, but I am really excited to go forward. In fact, we have to, because our contract is done. We're after today. We're done here. So there's no more looking back. There's only looking forward. But that actually fits really well with who God's called us to be. We've been trying to follow Him from the start. This church is really from the beginning, from the earliest inklings, this has been a God has been trying to speak to us. We do our best to listen, and then we follow Him. It's true from the very first inklings that we had. And for me, the first inklings I had was, many of you have heard some of these stories we're going to share today, but there's a reason why we share these over and over again. Many of you know that the first inklings I had is when I was having devotions with my daughter, Emma, and I'm sitting on their bed, and I've got this little devotional book, and we're reading, and they have a paraphrase of Psalm 37:7, which said, "Be patient, be still, wait for the Lord to act." And something about those words leapt off the page and said, "Okay, God, you're going to move. You're going to do something." And I knew that some changes were going to need to happen in our lives, but I had a sense of, okay, God's going to lead us very specifically as a family. God, where you lead, we want to follow. And it was exciting. I'm going to leave out a lot of details, but He led us to this covenant denomination, this covenant family of churches. Here's how little I knew about the covenant family of churches. Our first worship service as a family in a covenant church was our first service as a covenant church plant. That's how little I knew about the covenant. In fact, and that's not just true of me. How many of you never went to a covenant worship service before coming to ECC? Okay, look around. All right, so it's exciting. God's been leading us. He's leading many of us. In this case, as I look around, most of us, he led to a whole new family of churches that we knew little about, that many of us still know little about, that we better learn something about because we officially become a covenant church in June. So we'll do some more as we get closer to do that. But my point being, God's leading us. He gave us this inkling that I was to be patient and be still, wait for Him to act. He led us to this covenant family of churches. He even gave us our name. My wife and I were very reluctant to when the covenant started saying, you know, you should start a church from scratch. We were reluctant is an understatement. We didn't want to do it. We did not. Why would you start a church from scratch when you have so many churches already here in this area? Why would you do that? Well, when we were in our stage of, you know, no way are we going to do this, they were. Talking enough about the church plant where I said, oh, in my head, I thought, okay, let me start thinking about a name. If we did this, what would we call our church? And I'm thinking, you know, and I'm like, I don't want a name that's way too churchy. On the other hand, I don't want a name that's way too generic. I don't want a name that's too trendy. God, you know, I want a good name. And so I'm thinking for about a month, if we did this, what would we call it? And then I did this just crazy thing. I said, wait, God, if you want to start a church, what do you want to call it? And it didn't take another 30 days. It was right then. It was Emmanuel Covenant Church. And that was a defining moment for me. Because I started thinking about that. I could get excited about that church. Emmanuel means God with us. That's exactly the kind of church I want to be a part. Where God is with us. Where we're encountering Him. Where He's speaking to us. And He's changing us. And not changing us to be more churchy. He's changing us in the ways that really matter. Loving God, loving others, following Him as He leads. So, God says there's going to be change coming. He leads us to this covenant family churches. He gives us a name. That was very, very cool. Oh, before I forget, I almost forgot again here. I went back on my notes. Our first service was September 9th, 2007, right here. And on that service, you know, we had a message that I gave, and I look back at my notes to see what I said back then. And one of the things that I said is a story I'd forgotten that has to deal with our name. I'd totally forgotten this. One of the reasons we tell some of these same stories over and over again is so that we don't forget what God is doing. And here's a little add-on to the story about our name. I had, in preparation for the first Sunday, I'd started a folder, and I just threw a lot of stuff in there. As different ideas would come to me, I would just stick Post-its and scraps of paper and everything in this folder. So then when it came time to do the actual preparation, I open up the folder, and here's lots of stuff. Well, on there, there was a Post-it I put in that said Isaiah 62. And I had heard some speaker somewhere speak on Isaiah 62, 12, but my memory is horrible. And I remembered the Isaiah 62 part. I forgot the rest of the address, the 12 part. So when I get this little Post-it, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to look at Isaiah 62. There's some verse in there I'm looking for. Well, the verse I was supposed to find was Isaiah 62, 12, but because I didn't write the 12, I had to read the whole thing. Had to read the whole thing. Sorry, lightning strikes. So I'm reading through, and as I'm reading through, I feel the Holy Spirit say, no, the real reason you're supposed to look at Isaiah 62 is Isaiah 62, 2. That's the real reason. And here it is. This is a verse that we put on the screens 2 years ago. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. When I was typing in my notes this week, when I was reflecting on this, I literally had to sit back and take my hands off the keyboard and stop and just say, that's crazy. And that's humbling. And that's wonderfully intimidating. That God would care enough about us that he would even give us a name. Again, there's churches all over the place here. And he, I believe, has specific purposes for different churches. Different churches can emphasize different things. Hopefully we have the key common ground, but there is not a one-size-fits-all congregation this side of eternity. There's not. And he wants to do something special. He's inviting us into it, and he's even given us a name, down to that detail. Who are we that he's that mindful of us? Well, this church is his idea. It's his doing. He prepared us for a change. And when I said prepared us for a change, it isn't just me prepared for a change. This church is not about me. When I talk to so many of you, some of you from the start, some of you who came in midstream, some of you who are still trying to decide whether or not this is, you know, the family of churches you want to be a part of, it's so fascinating to talk to so many of, and it's that it was as if God was stirring you. And some of us, it's like, yeah, that stirring is still there. It's not just, I was to be patient, be still, wait for the Lord to act. We are to be patient and still. As he acts, as he guides us, and where he leads, it's our desire to follow. And now he's leading us to the Shoreview Community Center, a big, big house with lots and lots of rooms. And I was reflecting on that song that the kids chose. And the lots and lots of rooms, for obvious reasons, jumps out, but it's my Father's house really was impressed upon me. And I thought about that. It's his house. The Shoreview Community Center is his. God doesn't just own the churches. God owns all. And as you read through the scripture, you see him take governments and topple them. The most powerful nations ever to walk the face of the earth. God, if he wants to, can uproot them in a day. God can take the lowliest folks and raise them up where he wants them to be. That's our Father's house. And he's chosen to tell us, before there was an opening, he chose to reveal to us, contact them. It's his house. I was reflecting on this, and I found a couple passages that talk about who God is. Here's just some reminders as we move forward. This is the God we're talking about. His wisdom is profound. His power is vast. Who has resisted him and come out unscathed? He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. This from Jeremiah. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. It's our Father's house. And is it too tough for him to say, psst, there's going to be an opening at Shoreview Community Center. Call him. That's not too tough. Is it too tough for him to do that in the perfect timing, right when our contract was coming up? No. It's God's house, and it just so happens to have lots and lots of rooms. And doors that God opens, nobody can close unless God lets them. Doors that God closes, no one can open unless God lets them. And 2 years ago, he opened up the doors to this public school. And at different times throughout our 2 years, we've reflected on how wonderful that is. We're in a public school. We've had baptisms right here in the heart of a public school. We've celebrated communion right here in the heart of a public school. Nothing is too hard for God. If he wants that to happen, it can happen. Anything he wants to happen can happen. So if we follow where he leads, we're in for some exciting things. And God is not leading us aimlessly. He's leading us very specifically. He's specifically leading us to the Shoreview Community Center. And on Monday, I got kind of a little taste of what's to come. Since this is moving week, I decided on Monday. Monday's usually the day where I take my Bible and I take those folders and I take all that stuff and I try to pray and say, okay, God, what do you want to say on Sunday? And so I try to do that on Monday and rough things out. And so I decided I'm going to do that at Shoreview Community Center. I'm going to head over to that fireside room that we put up on the screen. I'm put my stuff down and reflect and pray. So I go in, and it was exciting. For the first time, I walk in the doors, and I'm greeted by name by the receptionist. Kathy, I think her name is. Kathy, yeah, Freya, you worked there, right? Yeah. So I'm greeted by Kathy, and I've been in there a couple times, but now she knows my name, and she's like, hi, and she's got a big smile on her face. And I go to sit down at those tables, and I don't even have my computer open yet, and I'm already in conversations with people. And one of them just happened to be the director of women's ministry for the Covenant Church for the Northwest Conference. She also offices there at different times. So I don't even have my computer open yet. She's networking me. Oh, this is so-and-so. This is so-and-so. And oh, you got to stay here. And I'm getting to know the people on the city council a little bit. And one of them's a believer. And all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, wow, God, you're opening all these doors. And then here comes Dan, the facility man. He comes walking by and getting to know him. And don't call him that. That would be bad. And he sees, and I have one of those little maps that, you know, we had made out. And he's like, hey, you got our schematics? And we were having this great conversation. And so all this is happening in the first hour there at the Shoreview Community Center. And then I had to leave because the Texas Hold'em guys come in at 11 o'clock on Mondays. I just found that out. So anyway, so I'm moving out. I'm packing up my stuff because they're great. These old, I mean, they imagine a bunch of guys who play Texas Hold'em, who don't have anything else to do on Monday mornings. That's the guys. And they're just throwing their cards right on my table, you know, and throwing the stuff on. I'm like, I guess that means I should go, huh? And anyway, it's going to be great to get to know these guys. But anyway, so I'm exiting the building. And as I'm exiting, I don't even get to the parking lot. And here's Michelle, the facilities director. And she's like, Chris, how you doing? And she's with some people. And the people that she's with are like, oh, we've heard about you. You're that super organized church who's going to be moving in here, who we should really take clinics from and all this. And just saying all these wonderful things, which may or may not be true, but we're just, this was all in the first hour. God is already preparing us to interact with folks. It's not just his house. Those are his people. And he cares about them. He loves them deeply. And he wants those of us who know him to be positive witnesses, that our light would so shine before them that they may see our good works and praise our Father in heaven. We want to be a people who God can use. We want to be a people who have ears to hear, so when he says, go, we can follow. We want to be a people, too, who he can trust, that he can trust with stuff. You know, here's a little story I'll pass your way. I had nothing to do with creating this, but there's a big banner, you'll see it at the end of the service, that says Chippewa Middle School that goes across the stage. And a couple months maybe in, we said, you know, it'd be nice if, I use words like we, wouldn't it be nice if we had a different stage skirt that we could put across here that just, you know, could kind of take that out of the equation. And so Becky and some others worked together, and they made this. Well, Chippewa calls us this week and really polite, or sends an email this week really polite and said, you know, is there any chance that we could buy that from you for our concerts and for all this kind of stuff? And I sent him an email back right away. I said, absolutely, positively not. You cannot buy it from us. But we'd love to give it to you absolutely free. And so hopefully they caught the sarcasm and kept reading, because sometimes emails don't go as well as intended. But I want to be like that, you know? I want to be the kind of church a guy can trust, that we're not nickel and diamond here and there, but it's just here. How can we bless you and ask nothing in return? You know, that's one of the reasons why one of these screens, I don't know which one it's going to be, one of these two screens and the projectors, we're just going to give it. There's a brand new church that's starting up on December 6th. John March, Pastor John, and Mary. Go New City Covenant! Mary's here. That's awesome. Good to see you. You guys, Sunday, right? You're firing up. And so maybe you're here to wait until the service is done. And then, but there, we want to bless. I mean, because it's not about us and our little kingdom. It's about what God is doing. So, you know, take it and use it, and may God multiply and do what you're doing. If you haven't already, go to newcitycov.org and check out their website. It's so exciting. God's doing this brand new thing. And it's an honor and a privilege for us to be able to say, here's a little thing that we can help with. You know, so I'm just excited. I want to be a people who God can trust, and not just with stuff, but with, more importantly, his people he wants to reach, people who've been hurt by churches in the past, or people who have misconceptions about who God is and what he desires to do in and through us. God can do that. And when it comes specifically to Shoreview, he chose to tell us about it. And that's humbling too. That is not big head stuff. That is the opposite. That is fear and trembling stuff. Who are we that you would choose us to be in this place of influence? This place where hundreds of people, thousands of people go through those doors every year. A building where under the same roof, there's where we're going to be and there's City Hall. Who are we? And like I said, this is not a big head thing, because it's coming to me now. Thanks, God. It's coming to me now that God often takes the lowliest people and raises them up so that people look at them and say, well, obviously it wasn't you that did this. It was God. So, yeah, this is not something to get big ahead of. Obviously, we're just people who no way could pull this off on our own, so he chose to tell us about it. And it's going to be so exciting to see what God does with this. This summer, we did a festival called the Slice of Shoreview, and it was fun, because for the first time, I heard people that I'd never met before saying, oh, you're that church that meets in Chippewa Middle School. And I think if we do the festival again this year, how many more people will say, oh, I've heard of you, you're that church that meets in the Shoreview Community Center. And as I've said before, I think right after we came back from the Shoreview Community Center, I am really excited, not for that day, but for the day when people are coming and saying, ah, I've heard of you. My friend, their kid was going the wrong way, and God used your church to turn their life around. Or I know you. You may not know me, but your church helped save... Am I still going? Wow. Is that the whole speaker and everything? That was bigger than that. It's big. See? Oh, hey. Oh, look at that. All right, I'll keep going. We can talk through this. Maybe we should stop. Absolutely. What was I talking about? Because I better not talk about that. Man. I know what I was talking about. It was good stuff, wasn't it? It was good stuff. Maybe the enemy doesn't want this, because that's the kind of church we want to be. You know, we want to be the kind of church that is known for things that really matter. We want to be a church that's not known because of our location or dazzling programs. We want to be a church that is known because we are following God. How cool would it be? This is not the case now, but how cool would it be if we are running into people and say, oh, we know your church. You are the ones who give half of all the food that comes into the Ralph Reeder food shelf comes in from your church. You know, or you're the church that there was that village in Africa that didn't have a well. You know, aren't those the stories that we want to be known for? Not because of us, but that they may see our good works and honor and give praise to our Father in heaven. So God chose us. He opened the doors, said, follow me. And as we've been following, we've been learning some lessons. And I don't want to forget these lessons. He's teaching us lessons now that we need to hang on to. He's teaching us lessons that the church is not the building. He's teaching us these lessons of, you are completely dependent on me. Because one snowy day, your trailer couldn't even make it, you know, or whatever. We want to learn those lessons. And here's the one that I want to focus on today. Now we'll be opening up our Bibles. But before we do that, if you could write this down, this is what I want us to focus on today. I want us to learn this lesson. I want us to learn that we need to follow him. We need to follow him. And here's, if you got your bulletins, you can pull them out. There's a green piece of paper, and on there's only one set of blanks today, and here it is. Christianity can be summarized by Jesus' invitation to follow me. That's irreducibly simple. It's impossibly hard. Once again, as we prepare to follow where God leads us, let's look at the scriptures. So if you have a Bible, why don't you open up to Exodus 13. We're going to look at verses 21 through 22. Here's one example among many where God led his people. This is a familiar passage to many people. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 through 22. And as we move into Shoreview Community Center, each week we'll set out Bibles. If you would like to take one to follow along, please do that. If you don't have a Bible at home, please take it home as our gift to you. Here we go. Exodus 13, 21 through 22 says this. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them. And on their way by night, the pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. All right, real quickly, just a little bit of context for this passage, is that this passage, these words, this pillar of cloud and fire, went before a people who had been in slavery for 400 years. And as they're being led from the life that they had known for generation and generation and generation, and being led into this whole new existence, God led them in a very, very visible way. Very visible way. God was leading them to a place they'd never been, and the cloud and the fire were signs of his presence with them. God was there in a visible way to guide and protect them, whether by day or by night. And that's worth noting. Did you notice it says by day or by night? It wasn't that they only traveled by day. And there are times individually and as a church where you travel by day, God leads you by day. Like in this case, it seems obvious this is where we're supposed to go. And we can even see in our heads why some of the reasons we can anticipate, because it's clear to see. This is a case where he's leading us by day. But there are times where he leads by night. When you have a strong sense of here's where he's taking us and I don't know why. In fact, this is counterintuitive, or this is scary, or if I misstep, I'm in trouble. God, this better be you because it's dark and I can't see otherwise. Sometimes God leads us by day. Sometimes he leads us by night. But he wants to be visible in both of those situations. Well, along the journey, as they're led by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, as they're going on the journey, God has them construct a tabernacle. And here's an artist's conception. I am not the artist of this tabernacle, this place that was to be a physical location for his presence among them. It was a portable church. As God would lead, they'd pack everything up. Bring it with them. We can relate to that, at least to a small extent. But here's a key difference between that portable church and our portable church. There were a whole lot of differences, but here's one. This tabernacle was very exclusive. This tabernacle had sections that certain people could enter. It also had sections that certain people, even fewer people, could enter, and only at certain times after doing certain rituals. This was a very exclusive
place of God's presence with them. Now with us, that's not to be the case. We're not to be exclusive in that same way. In fact, he's led us to a very public place. He's bringing us to an even more public place, a place that's even less exclusive in a lot of ways. And it's very interesting of all the timing of all this, how this day falls on the first Sunday, well, the season that's known as Advent. Yeah, first Sunday in Advent begins now. And Advent is a season on the church calendar where we anticipate God's coming into our world in this radically, wonderfully new way, as a baby Jesus, as this approachable person, as God with us. That's what we're celebrating, and that's what he's called us to be. Because what happened was God took that pillar of cloud and fire and did other things along the way that led his people to this holy land. And in that holy land, in the fullness of time, he sends his son. Here's another passage I want us to look at this morning, John 1:14. It's one that we come back to a lot for a lot of reasons. Here's what I want us to highlight here today. John chapter 1, verse 14. This is at the beginning of one of the Gospels, one of the sections of the Bible that talk about Jesus. And here it is. This is John's way, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of talking about Christmas, the first Christmas. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Well, here's what I want to highlight about that today. Advent is a time where we remember that Yahweh came among us as Yeshua, Jesus. God came and walked among us. The word that's translated here in the Bible as dwelt, actually, if I'm getting this right, comes from a Greek word that can mean tent. And it's the same Greek word that in the Greek translation of the Old Testament they use for tabernacle. So it's not a big stretch to interpret this passage to say, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. No longer in this exclusive way, but now he's walking out. He's touching those that others said were unclean. He is interacting with people that the religious people would not interact with. He's revealing dimensions of God that people had missed and that hadn't been revealed this fully before. He was walking and living among us. In the Old Testament, as God is leading his people, there were times where Moses would set up what was called the tent of meeting. And he would set this up outside a camp, and the pillar would come down and settle on the tent, and sometimes Moses would go in and interact with God, and only Moses could do that. And there are even times, we're going to look at them as we close the service today, one of them, where even Moses couldn't enter that tent. It was that exclusive. Now, Jesus has come that we may interact, that he may reside in us individually and then corporately as we come together. What the people in the Old Testament could only see at a distance as the cloud, now has come near. That Jesus resides in us. We are the body of Christ. We're talked about in the Bible, we're each parts of the body, and when we come together, Jesus is present among us in a fuller way, in a more complete way. And I was reflecting on this because there are different times where I look at the Bible and I'm going, to me, this doesn't make sense, God. If we could physically see a cloud above our church, there wouldn't be a whole lot of guesswork when that cloud went and picked up and went and moved over to the Shoreview Community Center. That would be really obvious. Why is it not like that? Well, what hit me this week was, we have it better. That may seem better, but again, there, God is external. Their God is more exclusive. We can have Christ residing in and through us. We have a Spirit of God that descended on his people and still descends on us. Where we become, the Bible says, we are now temples of the Holy Spirit. And it's so easy, again, to look back and go, no, that would be easier. Maybe in some ways it's clearer, but this way we have God dwelling in us as individuals, and then especially as we come together. That was in our Bible readings for this week, Matthew 18:20. It says, it gives this passage of how where two or more gather, I'm there. There's something wonderful about gathering as God's people. All right. Well, kids, you have done a great job. Hey, thanks for hanging in there, because we need you right now. What we're going to do is I want these things that we talked about, I want us to really remember them. So if any of you kids would be willing, why don't you come on up here and you can help us as a whole church, help us really remember this, what we just talked about, okay? All right. It's good to have a couple ringers of your own here to help you. Is there any way, Mark Johnson, do you want to go and tell Joey? I don't know if he can hear me, but bring up the house lights if you could. Oh, he can hear. All right. Okay, guys, here we go. Let's pretend that this is, what do you think this is supposed to be? This is our pillar of cloud. What do you think? Does that look like a pillar of cloud? It's the best I could do at Super Target, you know? Okay, so let's pretend that this is the pillar of cloud. So we're going to follow it. Pillar of cloud. I tried, man. I tried. Okay, we've got a really tight budget as a church. So why don't you guys go behind? Why don't you guys creative? Thank you. Bless you. All right. So line up behind this pillar of cloud. And let's pretend that this is what we've been talking. If you hadn't noticed, I've been up here talking a lot. And one of the things I was talking about was a pillar of cloud. And when the pillar of cloud, when God leads, what should we do? Follow. All right, so let's try it. Sometimes it's easy. Like right now, let's just follow the cloud to here. Go right to there, Emma. I got to find my water bottle. My voice is going. It's going. See? That's what happens when you talk too much, kids. All right, now, here's what happened. Look, was this stretch really tough? Was that really tough to follow that part? Mm-mm. Sometimes when God leads us, it's not really hard. Sometimes when he leads us, it's just to do one easy thing. Just like when we walk from there to here, not too tough. Sometimes following God isn't very hard. Other times, it is. Let's pretend that these steps are a huge mountain, okay? Do you think we can climb it? So God's leading us up the huge mountain. Here we go. Oh, gotta climb the huge mountain. Oh, pretend it's really hard. Oh, oh.
I lost my shoe.
Oh, you lost his shoe. All right, Emma, you can start right here. Right here. Okay, come on up, everybody. Come on up. Sometimes it's going to be really hard to follow God. Sometimes he's going to ask us to do things that we think, man, why is he asking us to do it? But we get to the top and we go, okay, with God's help, we made it. Now, not only is it sometimes easy and sometimes hard, sometimes it's scary. All right? Let's pretend that this section right here is scary. Let's pretend it's a scary valley with lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and armies, and think of scary things, not so scary that they make you cry, but just scary, okay? But you know what? Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. God is with us. He's leading us. We're going to follow. So, okay, here we go through the scary valley. Wow, all right. But we're focusing on God. He's going to bring us through. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it. Everyone making it? All right, freeze right here. Okay, how are we doing? Everyone's going, everyone's making it, everyone did it. All right, we made it through the scary valley. Not bad. We made it across the easy place. We made it up through the mountain, the hard place. We made it through the scary place. And now let's pretend this is like the slide at the state fair. All right? Because sometimes he leads us to stuff that is totally fun. Like you guys, I've gone to your kids' church a couple times. It's fun. You know, and there's different times where God leads us really fun places. All right, so why don't you go down there, and let's pretend we're going down a really fun thing. Whee! There we go. Oh, yeah, be careful. Oh, there are steps. The teacher's telling us, tell him be careful. Be careful. come on down. Did everybody make it? Everyone made it down the fun super slide? Perfect. Well, that brings us to the destination where God had for us. Because God loves to direct us to places that are going to give him honor and glory, and places where sometimes we even get a reward. You got to see these little eyes over here. So, Andra was going to help me with this. Andra, can you hold one of these? We have some Sour Patch Kids in this. Thank you. And you know what? Can I get someone else to help me hold this one? All right, Anna, why don't you hold, not Anna, Ella, why don't you have this? Now, and we have a Twix bar. So you can choose, before you go to your seat, you can choose a Twix bar or a Sour Patch Kid, and then why don't you head back to your chair. All right, you can choose one. Can we have a big hand for our helpers here today? Thank you, you guys. Thank you very much. Now, as they're doing that, let's look at one last passage together. This is Exodus 40. Thank you. And you guys can each take one, too. You did a great job. All right. Let's look at Exodus 40. Here's some nostalgia. Our last passage we're going to look at Chippewa Middle School, unless God brings us back here again sometime soon. All right. Let's take a look. Exodus 40. Now, this is going to look real familiar. It's going to sound real familiar because it sounds a lot like something we just read not too long ago. All right, Exodus 40. Let's go 36 through 38. It's on the screens. It's in our Bibles. Here we go. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels. One of the reasons why, at multiple times from different weeks, we try to do more of an extended time in an extended passage rather than jump all over the Bible is when you, sometimes it's important to get a survey of what God's doing. But when you only do that, when you only have little verses here and there, you can miss the bigger picture. And we read earlier from Exodus 13 about this cloud and this pillar of fire. And that was at the really towards the beginning of their journey. And now this comes at the very end. This is the last part of the book of Exodus. And it's like these bookends to what happened in between. And it also then sets us up for what's yet to come, for what's ahead. You know, I think of God's people in the book of Exodus. When they got to this passage we just read here, was their adventure all over now? No, not even close. God had led them through amazing things. He had brought them through things that threatened to divide them and sometimes did as a people. God led them to sights beyond anything they could have expected. God blessed them. God fed them. God took care of them. God did all of these incredible things. Things that were sometimes hard. Things that were sometimes scary. Things that were sometimes fun. God led them. And now it was like the start of a yet another adventure. And here's how it got summarized in my head. Many of you have seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And as I got kicked out by the Texas Hold'em boys, well, I self-selected out. I didn't want to take all their money, you know. And that would have been a bad first impression. But as I went out of the Shoreview Community Center, I went into the library, which is right across the way. And I sat down at a table, and I'm reflecting on this passage and others. And I was thinking about Lord of the Rings, in part because where I was sitting, I was facing the movie section at my table. And so here are all these movies. And I'm like, you know what? This is not just an isolated verse. This is not just the Bible. I got to make my essay longer so I have to repeat things. It's not that. It's God's doing something here. And what I felt at the moment was one of the things he could be saying to us through that is that it's like the end of the first part of a trilogy. And I thought of Lord of the Rings. And I thought about how... And I think it's the first one. If not, just pretend that it did. That at the end of the first movie, they had been through all kinds of adventures together. They got called into a mission that many of the characters, they never wanted to do in the first place. They got pulled into this thing that was bigger than them. And yeah, way bigger than them. They weren't going to be able to do it on their own. The mission was simple in one sense. Get the ring to where it's supposed to go. But it was also impossibly difficult because they were going to need help from all sorts of areas to help them complete the mission. But they got pulled into this thing. And along the way, even in that first little part of the three-part movie. They had things that would threaten to divide them. They had high highs. They had low lows. They had all this happening just in the first movie. And now, as the first movie was ending, there was a sense of happiness because a couple storylines got wrapped up and they had made it through some stuff. But there was a sense in which the story is now also continuing. And there is more yet to come. And they couldn't see all that was yet to come. The little battles and stuff they had faced, they were nothing compared to what they were going to face in movie 2. Which was nothing compared to what they were going to face in movie 3. And as I was thinking about this, I'm like, wow, that's exciting, but that's also pause for... Because right now it's like, okay, God, you helped us get started. We have some momentum going here. We can see that you're with us. You've led us to an incredible facility. But we need to remember that's just what we see right now. And we are kidding ourselves if we think it's just smooth sailing. We are kidding ourselves if we think that there aren't going to be things that are going to come and try to threaten to divide us. We're just kidding ourselves to think of if we in our own strength at this point can now take over and say, okay, God, you led us here, we're good. You know? This is like just standing at the end of part one of a mini-series, and we don't know when it gets concluded. Well, we do. It gets concluded when Jesus comes back. And we don't know when that is. So we keep following Jesus. And we follow him boldly. We follow him boldly when it's easy. Follow him boldly when it's hard. Follow him boldly when it's scary. In The Lord of the Rings, there's a classic quote. There's this little dwarf dude, and he, when they're faced with this final epic battle, it's just this small group of people against 500,000 monsters, you know? And so the little dwarf guy says something to the effect of, certainty of death, low chance of success, count me in. And there they go. There's times we're going to have to do that. We're, okay, God, if you're leading us, charge. Then there's going to be times where it's just fun. But in all those times, let's commit to following Jesus boldly. I want us to close doing just a couple things. One of them is, one of the things that we see in the scripture, sometimes Jesus before significant moments, it says they sang a hymn and then they went out. So we're going to close with a wonderful hymn called Be Thou My Vision. And as that's going on, we're going to start to pack up a little bit here on the stage. That's on purpose, yes. And another thing that we'll do as we're singing is the offering. And I don't want to forget this one because we've been talking about this a little bit as a church. It's so easy for us just to intellectually say, yep, God, I'm in, I'm going to follow you. When it comes to putting rubber, you know, where the rubber meets the road, that's where it's not as easy. And I want to encourage you to give as God challenges you to give. And if that's, you know, non-monetarily, then it's non-monetarily. If you're feeling like, you know what, this offering, God, I'm going to give more. If that's how God leads, then so be it. That's a discussion for you and God to have. So that's going to happen. But before we do that, let's pray together. There's a prayer on the back of your bulletins. It's a prayer that we prayed at the close of one journey I was on, at the start of our journey together. And let's pray it now as we close this journey and start the next. It's a prayer of a guy named Sir Francis Drake. I'll pray it. It's a lot of words here, so I'll pray it out loud if you want. But please, I'd encourage you, pray this with your mind and with your heart, silently, as I do. And then after this, Phil, lead us in that song.
Sounds good.
Here's a prayer. Let's pray. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we dream too little, when we have arrived safely because we sail too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. In our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wilder seas where storms will show your mastery. Where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Amen.